This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This was a great story a week ago. Matt, it's funny because Tiki would have really enjoyed this. He played down on the Valspar, played with Rondé, played in a Pro-Am, and the Valspar brought us a great human interest story. Number one, we got to see some great golf from many players, but the young man who cracked through got his first PGA win, and he went from all smiles, bouncing up the 18th fairway, to all tears post-round, and understandably, because, man, he was knocking on the door. He had, I think it was at least five or six other times where he was atop the leaderboard after a round. He's obviously got a ton of game, but he was never able to finish, and it's hard. He's only 24, so he's young. But winning, I think we take it for granted because we all watched Tiger just burst on the scene and Phil won a ton when he was young. Man, it is not easy to learn how to close that door, the final nine on a Sunday. And Sam Burns did it, and he's with me here on Tiki and Tierney. Sam, how you doing today, man? Well, first of all, congratulations. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well. It's been a fun week at home, just getting to celebrate with friends and family, just really soaking it in, but also exciting to start preparing for next week and kind of the rest of the year.
And the rest of the year changes dramatically for you, pretty much all the short of a spot in the U.S. Open, which is going to be amazing for you, and you should make your first trip to the Masters next spring. So when you win, you know, these fruits come your way. Talk about the near misses. I mean, because you can look at it one of two ways, and I'm sure probably you had both. But you look back, you say, man, I was right there, so I know I got plenty of stick to win. That I'm sure you never doubted that. But when you don't close the deal, you have to wonder, boy, what do I need to change? And that's probably a little unsettling for somebody that collegiately and obviously as an amateur had a ton of success. So before you won last week, just describe and take us through that process, which must have been pretty all over the map for you.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting thing because when you're around the lead, you know, which like I was for, you know, three or four events and not able to win, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, wow, we were you know, playing a lot of really good golf. Game was in a great place. But then it's almost at the same time, it's like a disappointment because you don't win. But you don't want to lose sight of also that your game's in good form and you're doing a lot of good things. So I think for me, it was almost just like, hey, just let's take a step back. We're doing a lot of quality things. Like, this is not a moment of let's freak out because, you know, my game's not good. It's like, okay, what do we need to do different in those situations? And that was, you know, that was really cool for me, just trying to learn as much as possible, especially in high pressure situations, and just trying to figure out what works for me, what doesn't, how I felt, what I could do different. And so I think that was the biggest thing for me this time around, is I just felt so much more comfortable. I felt like I don't want to get to come off like I feel like I belong there, but I didn't feel like, you know, the last few times that I could win out there, I didn't really have the belief. But this time around, I just knew that if I would just, you know, play my game and just stay in the moment one shot at a time, you know, really get into what we were trying to do and be really specific with, you know, the shots we were trying to play, that ultimately that would give us our best chance. And so just what a sweet blessing it was that it worked out in our favor this time. And it was really cool.
It's amazing to me because, you know, the way it goes, especially for an individual sport, and you're out there, I know you got your caddy, but let's face it, you bring that club back, it's Sam Burns who's striping it or, you know, off the mark. I mean, it is what it is, and you've got to live with it. But to me, like the psyche of a golfer who has yet to win, and what you just said was interesting, you had conviction this time that you would be able to finish even though you hadn't yet won. Versus the other few times, more than a few, where you were right there and you didn't necessarily feel as if you were equipped to win. So before you actually win, how do you believe that you're in a better position to win, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of like one of those things where, you know, golf is not like if you're a linebacker and you miss a tackle and the safety gets in behind you. It's you miss the tackle and he's, you know, it's 70 yards to the house and nobody's there to kind of pick them up. So it is interesting in the fact that it is, you know, basically, you know, at the end of the day, it falls on me. But also, like, at the same time, we just had a great team around me, so many people that have helped me to get to this point. And yeah, you know, it's funny. It's one of those things that it's hard. It doesn't make sense for people to think, how could you have conviction when you haven't done it yet? But I think been so close so many times and just understanding that I always thought that I had to play perfect on the weekend to win. And that's just not the case. Nobody's out there is playing perfect. So just understanding that, like, hey, you know, some things are going to go your way, some aren't. You're going to hit bad shots. Just being able to accept that and move forward and not kind of sit there and dwell on those was really helpful.
I got you. So we're talking to Sam Burns, who is the name you're going to be hearing a lot about over the next coming years, hopefully for a long time. He won at Valspar, first PGA win. That opens up, obviously, Augusta. That opens up the U.S. Open. And Sam is with me here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, Sam, what I always try to do, we have Brandel Chamblee on the show all the time. You know, Justin Leonard, not trying to name drop, but we have a lot of David Duval, a lot of great golf guests. And, you know, Patrick Reed after he won the Masters, we've had Spieth. We're a show that loves golf and understands golf. But we can't play well, but we get it, and we both love the game. I always try to humanize golf for our audience because, let's face it, 99% of us are going out there shooting 90-something or you know, even sometimes triple digits. I'm always curious, even as a professional, with a finely tuned swing and you can fly at three bills when you have to and you know you're getting down in two when you're 40 feet away, flop shots, you can do it with your eyes shut, you can move them, but you can do whatever you want. But as a professional, when you step on a range on a Thursday or even a Wednesday before it for a specific event, when you take the first couple of swings, do you ever feel, even as a professional, like out of sorts? Not like we would feel out of sorts on the range where we can be lost, but like, wow, this is not the swing I'm looking for. And when that happens, what do you do?
Yes, 100%. I think that's the unique thing about golf is just every day is a little bit different. Every day your swing just feels a little bit different. Your body may feel a little bit different. And golf, I mean, it only takes, you know, 1 or 2 degrees makes a big difference. And so, yeah, I think for me in those situations, it's kind of like, you know, I try not to freak out. I'm just trying to accept it for what it is. Like, hey, my golf swing doesn't feel great today. You know, it's not doing exactly what I want it to, but let's just go out there and give it our best. You know, may not be able to shoot 65 today. Maybe our best today is 72. And so it's just kind of one of those deals that you just, and that's something I've learned over the years. I'm still learning how to do that. And so it's, but definitely, you know, you have those moments for sure.
Do you think there are guys on tour who you just use the term, you know, you try not to freak out. And if you don't feel like you have a 65 on the first few swings, maybe just grind it out and, you know, get around the course and get your par and call it a day. Do you think there are guys, I would imagine there are, who do inwardly freak out and overanalyze and they make it worse?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, as professional golfers, it's a lot of times it's easy to try to be where we probably all have a little bit of perfectionist in us. So yeah, it's in those times it's like, all right, let's damage control here and not make it worse.
I got you. So one of the great things about, you know, hitting the winner's circle is that you're really, and the PGA Tour is incredibly charitable. It's awesome. Right. You guys do so much. And with the, you know, the Valspar Championship, I know that you've had a chance to link up with Fill the Stadium, which is a great sacrifice for roughly 70,000 children in need. I know we've had a few of the other players talk about this, but specifically for our audience that might not know what is the initiative all about, and what are you doing specifically, Sam?
Yeah, so Fill the Stadium is basically an urgent effort, you know, working alongside Compassion International with the unique goal of meeting immediate needs, mostly for children and their families in crisis through the next 12 months. And I think, you know, a good perspective that kind of makes sense to me is, you know, 70,000 kids is what their goal is to help and their families. And 70,000 is also the average capacity of a pro football stadium. So each seat represents a child in need, and that, you know, our hope is that people would normally spend money to attend a pro sporting event, but, you know, a lot of times right now they can't because of COVID. So, we'll just choose to support these at-risk children.
This is a great thing. You know, I know that the McCourty brothers are involved in this. Nate Solder, who is an offensive lineman for the Giants, Nick Foles, quarterback, he won the Super Bowl. The website is www.fillthestadium.com. We'll get a link out. We'll tweet something out for you. Because I get a sense you're going to be around for a long time doing this and getting some wins, and people are going to get to really know you, I want them to learn a little bit more about you, so when they see you on TV, they're like, oh, yeah, I heard Sam on the Tiki and Tierney show the other day. Were you the kind of kid, when you were growing up, Sam, were you playing every sport, or were you just, hey, seven iron in your hand from the time you were two and it was all about golf? What was your athletic starting point?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my dad and brother both actually played college football at Louisiana Tech. So we were always a football family growing up.
Nice.
My brother's 8 years older. So, you know, when he was 13, I was five. And so all of his friends would, you know, just beat me up and bully me around. And so finally I decided if I picked up a golf club, I could, you know, I could try to get after him with it. And so that's kind of how it started. And mostly as a weapon at first. And then my brother actually kind of got me into it. He showed me how to swing. And then, actually what I really got into it was my mom would always take me to a summer camp. And I don't know how old I was, maybe 10 or 11 at the time. You know, she asked me, you know, one day after school, hey, do you want me to sign you up for the summer camp? And I was like, no, not this year. How about you just take me, you know, at the same time you would take me to camp, just take me to the golf course and you pick me up at dark. Take me in the morning at 7, pick me up at 7 that night. And I just had a lot of time out there just trying to figure out, you know, this silly game we play. Try to figure out how to get good at it. And, you know, some days I think I've got a hand on it. Some days I'm still searching. So,
yeah, like the rest of us in civilization, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, man. So is there anybody that – I'm going to let you go after this, Sam. Sam Burns, of course, Valspar champion a week ago down in Tampa. You've been on tour now for a couple of years. You played a lot of events. Is there anybody that you want to play with that you haven't had a chance to be paired up with yet?
Good question. I would say Webb Simpson is, you know, a guy that kind of a mentor of mine out there. Just a great, great Christian guy, really open, shares his heart with people and makes a difference in a lot of people's lives. And I've gotten to spend a lot of time around Webb, but haven't ever been paired with him in a tournament. So I think that would be, you know, really fun for me, just getting to play with him and kind of learn from him what he does out there, you know, how he goes about it.
Yep, one of the good guys, no doubt. Webb, we've had Webb on. It's been a while, but definitely a good dude. And he's got a lot of game, too. He's been on some Ryder Cup team. Webb could play, no question.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, Sam, go and, you know, it's back to the grind here. That championship's always going to be on the mantle, and you're going to always keep it shiny, I hope. First one, and it's awesome to see it. I watched it. I watched that last day, and it was pretty cool to see the emotion. I think that's great for the sport. Congratulations. Keep doing your thing with fillthestadium.com, and we'll be watching. You can bet that. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.